Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Discipleship.ca. My name is Teresa, and with me today is
Steve.
Thanks for joining us as we have another discussion with the hope, prayer, and goal of encouraging you in your daily walk of faith and journey towards Christ-likeness as we explore scripture, faith, and the Christian life, as well as talking about what Jesus is teaching us on our journeys of faith. Today we are talking about the Great Commission. You just gave me a little look and I was I'm jumping in.
You just like
I'm just going to take it.
Okay, so here, cuz you love quizzes so
No, that's inaccurate.
It is inaccurate. But okay. What would you say is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us
other than Jesus?
Through Jesus.
Oh, through Jesus. Other than like eternal life with him?
Is that your answer?
Well, what is greater than that?
I'm just
access
asking
to the Father. I mean,
is life eternal?
Life with him, the forgiveness of sins. And
yeah, you got it. Just life. That's all. I was just looking for.
Oh, life. I was like, I don't know what you're looking for here.
John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, or is the light of men. John chapter 14, verse 6 basically tells us that Jesus is life, right? So life starts with a relationship in Christ. And then it continues forward from there. But here is the wonderful thing. Like, we're given this gift in Jesus to have life and have it abundantly.
Yeah.
But then he leaves us some ideas of what we should be doing.
Right.
And that's really what the Great Commission is. It's these last words to the 11 disciples, because at this point Judas is no more. He has betrayed Jesus, and if you read
Judas
the Bible,
is no more. It sounds very ominous.
It is very ominous.
I'm not going to say what it is.
He has hung himself in a tree.
He has passed.
For his 30 pieces of silver, as was prophesied
no
in
more.
The Bible.
I mean, it's true. Yeah,
and,
you're right.
There's only 11 disciples because they haven't added one yet. That's going to happen.
Right.
But we get to this reality that life starts with a relationship with Jesus, but there are some things that he actually kind of lays out that we're supposed to be at work doing. So as we look at the Great Commission, and if you are a keener and have been around church and Christianity and faith for a while, you know that the Great Commission is in Matthew chapter 28. But we're going to go look at Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 first.
Right. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth."
Yeah. So we have this reality that there's going to be, at some point in our lives, there's going to be, and for the disciples, there was this moment where the Holy Spirit was coming, and there was going to be this pouring out of a helper who was coming, a counselor, a teacher, a guide.
Right.
To lead us through life.
When was the first time that Jesus mentioned the Holy Spirit? Oh, okay, sorry. Do you want me to go?
I don't have that.
Because
right
that
in
was
front
Acts.
Me.
So Jesus had already talked about.
I mean,
I'm
the Holy
one.
Spirit is at his baptism. The Holy Spirit is.
Yes, no, but I'm talking about mentioning sending it for us. Like the Holy
Spirit. Him.
Him. The Holy Spirit was at his baptism, but nobody would have understood who he was at would he?
Yes, because the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters in the creation story.
I know, but do
they have
people
the,
don't know what that
they,
is?
The Hebrew people very clearly
okay.
had
okay, that's what
the
I was
Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. But what we don't have is a definitive Trinitarian statement. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit
no,
all
I
in
understand
one,
that.
Right?
I'm just meaning when Jesus like promised, you know, there's one who comes after me. Was that the first time that he really referenced verbally?
No.
The Holy
this,
Spirit. Okay.
This part in Acts? No. I think it's
no,
earlier.
No, he talks about it in the Gospels before
yes,
he
I know.
Dies.
Yeah, but we just read Acts.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Anyways,
so
I'm getting ahead.
Earlier than that. We went sideways and now
sorry.
I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore.
The Holy Spirit will come.
Yeah.
But
the Holy Spirit coming is for one purpose in these two verses, right? In verses 1, Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, it's so that we can do one task listed there. Did you catch it? It's to be witnesses, right? We're called to be witnesses, to tell others what you have seen, what you have heard, and what you have experienced, right? When you get called into court to be a witness, you're just supposed to accurately retell whatever it is that you either heard, saw, or experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're called to be witnesses. So as you enter into life with Christ, we're called to go out into the world and to be witnesses because we have experienced life with Christ. So Jesus calls us to witness about him
whenever
we can. And in the midst of all of that, we have a helper who is, you know, indwelling us, mm-hmm. empowering us to do that in the Holy Spirit. So let's go to Matthew 28, just verse 16.
Sounds good. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, is that the right one?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's totally the right one.
Okay, good.
So, I mean, lots of times people do exactly what you just did and kind of was like, that's it? But there's a lot there, right? Jesus is telling
11,
the disciples, go somewhere to do something
specific. And they did what they had been told to do.
And they did it. Jesus actually desires for us to learn what he wants us to do and then do it. It's this hear and obey.
Mm-hmm.
This receive what he's teaching or asking us to do and then act on it.
Right.
Right? And so he was... tells the disciples, hey, I want you to go there. I want you to go up in the mountain. And you have to understand, like, Jesus has gone into the grave, has resurrected from the dead. So at this point, you've got Jesus just appearing places to people.
Right.
And then at times disappearing.
Right.
At times just wandering off and they don't see him again. It's kind of like,
yeah,
you know, he's coming and going. So when they say, when he says to the disciples, go to that mountain, they're like, okay, well, he'll meet us there.
Right.
Like, we're going to do this because he's got a purpose for this. Like, they've actually figured that out, right? So they go to do what he told them to do. And just like that, we're supposed to kind of in life walk through our situations and be willing to go and do whatever it is that God is putting in front of us, right? So if he says, go to 7-Eleven and talk to the guy standing by the air pump.
Yes.
Go do it.
And how do we know? Like, I think a lot of the times Christians today are like, how do I know what God is telling me, when God is telling me what to do? That's hard for them sometimes to discern.
Yeah.
And the more you're in the Word,
some simple things, right? Like if you're being told to hurt yourself or hurt somebody else.
Right, that's not.
It's probably not God.
It's not God.
If you're being told to do something that is contrary to Scripture, so steal something or lie about something, probably not God.
No.
Right? So there's some guardrails that we have just in Scripture, but we have to be willing to hear that leading or experience that leading or feel that leading and respond to God leading us, right?
And be obedient to that.
And be obedient to that.
Right.
And as the commission unfolds, you get an idea a little bit more of what's going on. So the disciples, this is the first part of the commission, is they're actually told, go somewhere that I'm not going to go with you to.
Right.
And be ready.
Right.
And so then we get to verse 17 and 18 of Matthew 28.
When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
Yeah, so they get to the mountain, they worship, and then they doubt. And this should be a comfort.
It should be comforting
to all of us because the disciples, after years of walking around with Jesus and knowing
the closest people to him,
after seeing him resurrected from the dead and hanging out with him and eating at the shore and having like all of the experiences
that
they had, he tells them to go to a mountain. They worship. Him.
He's there.
And they're like, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Is it really him? Is it really what he's asking us to do? I mean, this sounds familiar, does it not?
It does. And so here's the thing. We just last night, you and I watched a documentary on...
We did?
Well, you slept most of it, but I watched a documentary.
Oh, no, I didn't sleep. I was doing something else.
On a young man who felt the call of God to go out as a missionary. But one of the experts that they had on, who was a disenchanted former missionary who had given up his faith.
Hard to listen to.
Part of the reason he gave up his faith is because he's like, I don't know what Jesus looks like. I don't know. Like, he could walk right.
I thought that was interesting because
he could walk right past me and I wouldn't know who he is.
The tribe was asking him.
How do you know?
And then he started doubting from their questions.
Yeah. Like, what kind of food does Jesus like? Well, I don't know. I've never met him. Well, how can you tell us about him, right? So to the
Well, he always likes bread and fish.
The tribe, we're like, yeah, the tribe. That's what we're looking at him going, you're just making this up.
Oh, yeah.
And that was his struggle, was he's like, he began to ultimately doubt that he knew anything about God.
Right.
About Jesus, right? And so here's the question. Would we doubt if Jesus was standing right in front of us? If somebody showed up.
Honestly, though, I'm so glad I didn't.
And
like,
said,
would I think
hi,
he
I'm
was
Jesus.
Actually Jesus? Or would I be like, oh, goodness, you're just such a weirdo. You know what I mean? Like, we discount people so quickly today.
That's the question. Would we
like,
doubt? So we got to cut the disciples some slack, right?
Because that's fair.
Here they are. Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's dark. Maybe they can't see him. Maybe he looks different than he did before.
Well,
maybe because there was, it was very clear, like he could talk to them.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until he said something that made them realize
because
that they
didn't
were talking to
recognize
me.
Him.
So,
off, like,
you know,
most
there's some part of all of this where they're doubting whether or not this is true. Mm-hmm. They could be still doubting whether or not, did you actually die? How did you get out of that grave? Like, what is
like
going on?
Like, we saw you
here?
Die.
Yeah. And so there's this moment of doubt that the disciples have, and we should remind ourselves that these are just normal guys with normal questions. And
yeah,
so here
people.
Is something that is absolutely miraculous, but they have this moment where they're saying, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're all honest, there are moments in our walk of faith where we're going, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Or
right?
We experience
you
something.
You have choices in front of you, and you're like, I don't know whether A or B is
totally.
Better. And I don't know whether A or B is what God wants me to do.
And, I know,
and
that's
and
not
I know,
a fun
like,
place to be.
We're in that spot ourselves. There's a choice that needs to be made, and there's two good options, and neither one really has, like they have different benefits
different
to them and different
aspects
that are good, different aspects that are bad, but you could do either one and be equally happy and equally serving God and equally, you know, content.
Yeah.
And then we realize, like, how do you choose?
I know.
How do you know what God is actually calling you to? And then suddenly you're actually in that same spot that the disciples are in. You begin to doubt whether or not you can hear what God is calling us to do.
Yeah.
And so they are normal guys with normal questions, and it's normal to actually be in moments where you go, I'm not sure.
No, absolutely. And I think sometimes too in this, I think you'll agree with me, we will experience something and then after it's happened, did we really experience that?
Yeah.
Is that really what happened?
Yeah.
You know, you start to doubt even what you saw firsthand or what you experienced firsthand. Was that real? Was that, did that actually go the way I think I remember that it went?
Yeah. Yeah. And people do that all the time. We do that in our conversations, in our dealing with people and the ways that we function through things. And we've got to sort that through, but thankfully the story's not done there
right.
that we're looking at. So we get to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Right. So we're not told what the disciples actually doubt about exactly, but they doubt in some way. Excuse me. I got the hiccups.
I excuse you.
And so here Jesus comes right back with a verse and says, therefore.
I lost my place.
Right. Therefore.
Yeah.
Go and do this.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not sure how this is supposed to work? Like, you know, we're just going to wander around and be told to go to mountains and we're going to worship together. It's like, this is what life is like for the Jesus has been doing this for 40 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is this what life for the rest of our days is like? Like, you're going to tell us to meet you somewhere and we'll meet there and we'll worship. Is this what, and that's as simple as what this doubt could be.
That's
Can
true.
We do this forever? Like, how does it work?
Is this what the rest
but
of my life
But instead, Jesus follows through with this command, right? This commission command. And just one more time, read it again, 28:19.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
So we go make disciples, baptizing them of all nations. Mm-hmm. And so the thing to remember is that this is a command and a commission.
Right.
Right? So the command is they're told to do something. They're not asked. They're not like, hey, when you have time, therefore go.
True. When you feel like it.
Like, it's not, you
That's
know?
True. That's good perspective.
And then commission means that it's assigned to you. This is your job.
This is what you are.
Not your suggestion.
Do. Right.
Not
right.
your maybe get around to it.
Mm.
You know, so like when we ask our kids when they're smaller to clean their room, it was commanded and commissioned.
Well, yes, except for when you're like, can you go do this? And they're like, well, no, I don't want to. Okay, no.
No, then,
go do this.
Then you're not
you
commanding
change
or
it,
commissioning,
right? You got to change the way
you're,
that you...
You're giving them a specific job for a specific time frame in a specific way, right? We're therefore go make disciples, baptize all nations, teach them about the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like we have a very specific job at a specific time in a specific place to a specific people.
Right.
And that's what we're supposed to do, right? We lead others to be followers of Jesus wherever we happen to be.
Yeah.
We all have a great commission. That commission where we don't get to put it on pause, right? When you show up to work, like if you're a lawyer,
right?
You don't pause the Great Commission because you're a lawyer. You maybe can't tell people about Jesus every moment of every conversation, but you can look for opportunities to lead people towards Christ so that they can understand who he is and become followers of him, right? And the question becomes, who are we representing Jesus to? In that Great Commission, we're called to go and to do something. And so the go is like maybe it's just across the street to your neighbor.
Right.
That's going.
Yeah.
Maybe it's to work. Maybe it's wherever. But the idea is there's an action. There's a forward action. You actually have to move, like go in a direction to get this done.
There
you can't just wait for
here.
Them to come to you, right?
And how to do this.
This is the bigger part for our society and the world now is that you don't get to sit back and wait.
Right.
We've got to actually go.
Right.
And then we get to verse 20, the last verse we're looking at today.
And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
So just so everybody gets this clear, shock your pastor this week and say, I listened to a podcast on the Great Commission and I realized something.
Yeah.
The plan is not for me to sit here and take in Bible studies and classes and sermons.
Though those are not bad in and of themselves.
But the plan is actually to get to the point where I
go
teach.
Yeah.
I go
yeah.
and I teach.
Yeah.
So can you help me learn how to do that? And your pastor will be like, wow, we're doing something right. And this is amazing. And they will be encouraged. And so we're supposed to live lives of excitement, of discipleship, of teaching, of preaching, of helping others to grow in their understanding of who Christ is so that they can be saved, that they can be given that great life gift of Jesus Christ. And the life that they get comes right back into this Great Commission where they go out and live a life that points continually to Jesus. So here's the frustration. If we are always Christians who are known for being, I don't know, grumpy or hypocritical or unloving or judgmental, we haven't done a very good job of presenting who Christ is to the world. We're not teaching them very well, right?
Yeah.
And so we need to reorientate the way we do things so that in our lives, we are pouring out the actual truth of Christ to the people that we encounter. That's what the Great Commission is. You don't have to go around the world somewhere else.
Though some are called to
do that. Some might be called to do that.
But we are all called.
But some might be called to just show up to work and share the gospel and point people to Jesus.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, guys, thanks for joining us for our conversation today. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can always subscribe, leave a like or comment on our social streams, or even tell others about us. We appreciate any help in getting connected to people who are interested. As always, you can find us online at discipleship.ca and on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great day, and I hope you can join us next time.
Until next time.